My friends in Christ, one of the more important figures of the 17th century scientific revolution is an English philosopher named Francis Bacon. Francis Bacon is known as the father of empiricism. And so observation and experimentation about the natural world, trying to gain knowledge from the world that we live in, and coming to conclusions about that. He's the father of that branch of science called empiricism. And in his philosophy, Francis Bacon says, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And so to some extent, that is true. We gain knowledge about our circumstances and the world around us. And so we have control, power in a certain sense, over the way and the direction our life is moving. Knowledge is power in that sense, but it's not true in the absolute sense. It's not the case that everyone that has knowledge has power. And nor is it the case that those who are steeped in knowledge use that knowledge in a powerful way to change the world we live in. In fact, tragically, many people who have lots of knowledge use that in a destructive way, a way that can cause harm to the world we live in. Knowledge is not power in the absolute sense. And yet there is a knowledge given to us by God that is power and has the power to transform the world. In fact, we've been meditating on it these last 3 weeks in the Easter season. It's the knowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born into the world to save us from our sins, that he was crucified, rose from the dead, and gives us now a new life, a new beginning with God. We can have an intimate relationship with God here that leads us into eternal life with him. That message or core proclamation is called the kerygma. It's Greek for preaching or proclamation, and Jesus uses it specifically in the gospel this weekend. This is how it happens. He appears to the disciples in that upper room in St. Luke's gospel. These disciples who are anything but powerful. They're anything but ready to change and transform the world. They're quivering in fear. More than that, they're ashamed and sorry that they've denied Christ. They've abandoned Christ. They've heard that he's risen from the dead, and they're not sure what that means for them. When Christ will walk into that room and say to them, peace be with you, I have a message of peace for you. And he shows them his wounds. And so they're incredulous for joy. They're filled with wonder. And Christ then says to them, everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. That's why all these things have happened to me. It's not accidental that Christ was rejected by the religious leaders of his time, that he was crucified, that he rose from the dead. Nothing accidental in the providence of God. And he goes on to open their minds. St. Luke says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So important. He helped them to see in a biblical way the way God is moving in the world. And then he says to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. That is the core message of the kerygma. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations. that it's not enough to know that Jesus rose from the dead. We have to know that he died for our sins, and then we turn away from them. We reject the things that are contrary to the will of God. Whatever breaks our relationship with God and those around us, we reject it. We turn back to God with all of our hearts, and we receive new life. That is the message of the gospel. How effective was it for these apostles who listened to it in the upper room? Well, we listen in the Acts of the Apostles this morning to St. Peter, who stands up in front of the people and crowded in front of the temple and says, "The author of life you put to death, but God has raised him from the dead. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be wiped away." God has a plan for your life, not condemnation, but renewal, new life. St. John the Evangelist, in the same way in our second reading this weekend, says he is the expiation of our sins. He's come to wipe our sins away, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. How are we called to receive this same message as a church this weekend? How is Christ opening our minds to understand the scriptures, to enter more deeply into the kerygma, the core message of the gospel? How are we called to repent for our own sins, to turn our lives completely back to God? And how are we called to get out into the world and make it known to those around us that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for us, and that we can turn our lives back over to him who is the way, the truth, and the life?